It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance and body slammed his way into immortality?
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
If I had a million dollars, if I had a million dollars, well, I'd buy you a fur coat, but not a real fur coat, that's cruel. And if I had a million dollars, if I had a million dollars, well, I'd buy you an exotic pet,
yep,
like a llama or an emu.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It is Thursday, October 16th, 2025. My guest in the studio, Jody Sagesser, and she is the Mojave County Republican Central Committee Chair. Absolutely. So if I bought you an exotic pet, it wouldn't be an armadillo because those are kind of native to West Texas, right?
Yes.
I'll bring your mic up a little bit.
Oh, there
you go. Thanks. You're perfect. Perfect. That's perfect. No, like in tin cup.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Armadillos.
Armadillos.
Yeah. We call them oysters on the half shell in Texas. You never want to hit them in your car. It did thousands of dollars of damage to my car. I hit one at 4 in the morning.
Is it? Why? Is it the weight? What happens?
They're very muscular.
Uh-huh.
They're very solid.
Skeletal.
And that skeleton around them is very tough. I mean, you can shoot at them probably with a 9 and you won't penetrate them.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Now, see, that's a West Texas woman right there, folks. You could shoot at him with a 9.
There you go.
Welcome to the show, everybody. We're going to talk all things Mojave County Republican Central Committee right now and a little bit extra even after that. And then we have Brian Springberg is due to come in bottom of the hour. And then I want to talk to Coach. I got to talk to Coach. I got to figure out what happened against Deer Valley last week and how he wants to handle Yunker this week with the Lake Havasu High School Fighting Knights, who are ranked number 11 in the 4A rankings right now. So as it stands today, I'll be doing Friday night games for the state playoffs, I'm told.
Woohoo!
It's not something you volunteer for, I'm told. I'm kidding, Steve. I'm kidding. All right, so there was a mention of pronouns before we came in. And it occurred to me that, okay, do your pronouns, when Trump says no more this, you know, no more putting your pronouns on your email, that sort of thing, do you think they just are being quiet or they really went away as far as the people who support that type of nonsense?
For the people who support it, I think they still support it. I think for the rest of us, we're not going to partake in that type of diabolical behavior in social experiment. We're
right.
Done. Instead of DEI, it's DIE. I think they're a little dyslexic.
D-I-E?
D-E-I and D-I-E.
Okay. Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. I see what you mean. Yeah, I think it was a social experiment that's going to come back. It's almost like political correctness. So we made fun of it for a while, and then it came back really hard.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I don't know. They want to think, if you watch Matt, what was that called? Am I Racist? The movie, the comedy. It is a comedy.
It is a comedy.
If you, Matt Walsh, if you watch his comedy, Are You Racist? They think they're smarter than everybody by using this language, and it's just word salad.
It is a word salad, and you know, don't we have bigger issues to solve right now?
Right. Something very interesting, and I don't want to get into the intricacies of it, but when you had the consultant come down to talk to your precinct committee people, mm-hmm. he was quite knowledgeable. How did you, and I understand that he did all of that on the cheap.
He did.
That's amazing.
It is amazing, and that's why personal relationships matter in politics. And you find out people, and I try to find people who are informational and can help us, and you know, do the exchange. And I first met George when we were at the AZFRW convention, and
AZFRW, so Arizona
Federation of Republican Women.
Got it.
Back in the spring, and I was talking with people, politicking, and I was late to a meeting, and I come walking in, and they kept talking about all these great, wonderful things Mojave County did. And I'm like, oh, that was me. That was us. That's what we did. That was we did. He goes, we need to talk.
Yeah.
And so we struck up a conversation, and I would love for him to come and brief our people on what we're looking at when I talk about the data.
So he talked about, what was the terminology for the person that doesn't, it was a one? A 001?
001, 02.
02.
Yep.
Right. Explain what those are without talking about the strategy. It was super interesting.
What it means is that especially we saw with the last election, we had people who have never voted in an election before. We had people who were registered to vote and didn't vote, but they came out for President Trump. And those are the people that we're kind of going to be focusing on. And we also have, like, party not declared. And people who kind of go in and out for whatever reason of election, they might vote 2-3 years ago, they might have voted this one. Mm-hmm. And those are the people we're trying to keep in the game. So, okay. Like, I would be like a 5R. I vote in every election, you know, city elections, right. You know, every election I would vote. What they were talking about, especially under Trump, when you look at the data, we had a lot of people that were first-time voters or hadn't voted in a while.
That's interesting.
It was very interesting. And the reasons behind that are absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, and I don't want to get into all that. That's strategy. But why do you suppose they were first-time voters?
Something.
Because the Democrats want us to think that they're registering everybody. Get out the vote, rock the vote, whatever.
Oh, yeah, and their registration numbers are down, and ours are up.
Interesting.
And so it's not even that we're registering more Republicans. More people are also leaving the Democrat Party. And that's just a fact. That's a number. That's not an intuition. It's not a, you know, subjective number. So when we go through these things and we're looking at them, and they're first-time voters or they haven't voted in a while, they resonated with some message. It might have been Rogan. It might have been Make America Healthy Again. It might have been they were tired of the other stuff.
It might have been garbage.
It might have been garbage, yeah. I think
that was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Like the basket of deplorables.
The basket of deplorables.
That registered with me. Oh, I'm garbage now?
Yeah.
Really?
And you know, we were talking about earlier about all the pronouns and all the social economic stuff that we've been forced to go through.
Right.
I have a 31-year-old daughter, and I was talking with them. I said, why are you guys going to vote? And they said, because we've been scared of everything since we were nine, since 9/11. Everything they've done has been 9/11, TSA, what they say, the social media, all this other stuff. They've been monitored, and they have to be brainwashed the pandemic is a perfect one. And they said they're just tired of it. They want some freedom, and they want to feel secure.
That's an amazing insight right there.
It is.
To, you know, out of the mouths of babes, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's, wow.
What age was Charlie Kirk?
31.
There
right,
you go.
Right, right. And his birthday was day before yesterday.
Day before yesterday.
And then the way I can remember that is my brother's birthday is the 15th. So his is the 14th. And then he was shot on the 10th. And I have a sister who was born on 9/11.
Wow.
But not on. She was born way before 9/11. It just became 9/11.
But if you study what these kids have been through and you actually talk to them, mm-hmm. They don't. My daughter doesn't know life before TSA.
Oh, so she wouldn't know walking to the gate with your family.
And then 2 minutes before they close the door, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and having the briefcase, I just throw it on the plane.
Or going into the cockpit to you know, talk to the pilot and he gives you wings when you're a kid, you're 8 years old or whatever.
Correct.
I did that.
Correct.
And TWA, you know, what is that, right?
Or she may not remember when she was little running up and down the aisle.
All
not
right.
Exactly the best parenting moment, but, you know, she got loose.
Mother of the year.
Mother of the year.
Good job. Yeah. Good job. So you had gone over a list of things that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. So we've been, we're out in the community a lot more than we have been. You know, part of that is our people were so energized by their famous tents and our 75-foot line. And we are still continuing to register a lot of Republican voters or people who are switching parties. So we have been down at the swap meet from 8 to 2 on Sundays. We do a little thing called Question of the Week. And we just people do a little poll. We have the parade coming up on October 25th at 9:30. And then we hear there's going to be a No Kings Day on, what is that, the 18th? And there is a counter protest going on. So our people, some of our good Republican folks
here
in
Havasu,
oh. Bullhead, and in Kingman.
I figured Kingman for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. No Kings. What is the message that the other side is putting out?
I don't know.
I haven't been able to.
So if we had a king, wouldn't the government be open? So if we had a king, they wouldn't be able to close the government.
Is the only thing they based on, I know they think he's a fascist, they think different, you know, they think he's a dictator, but do you think they're basing the king part on family? Because, you know, if you look at the swearing in, for example, the inauguration, it was Trump, it was the family of Trump, right?
It was the family of Trump.
It was like a royal family.
But don't forget, they wanted Kamala to be the queen.
Well, yeah.
So they're very obsessed with royalty, and we kind of solved that, and we had No King's Day in 1776. So, you know.
Did not know that. So I got the official name for America 250, the actual sesquicentennial centennial. I'm going to get that during the break because I wondered why they're calling it America 250. I know why, but, like, the bicentennial was easy to remember.
Mm-hmm.
The name of this one is about, I don't know, if you got it in Scrabble, you'd get a lot of points.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but
right.
All I know is I remember is the last one, the bicentennial.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not dressing up in a prairie outfit again.
Yeah,
Little House on the Prairie, we had to do the whole thing for
really?
School. Yeah, we had a whole school presentation. I'm like, man, that left a mark.
5 years ago, they would have sent you to Colorado City for that.
Yeah, it just, it was really left a mark on you when you were a kid about what that meant
mm-hmm.
and how really young a state Arizona was at that time. Because, you know, I grew up in Arizona. So.
Right. I guess my point is that the bicentennial really didn't catch on until the movement of the bicentennial until almost 1970, that new year.
Yep.
I'm thinking that might just happen with America 250. That right now, the Democrats are just everything they can find from this Adelita Grijalva nonsense. Right? Swear her in. Well, there's not a session right now.
Yeah, it's a little disingenuous for them to say swear her in when it was just certified on Tuesday. She represents 800,000 people.
Yeah.
And yet the federal government is out of work and we're putting people unemployed.
Right.
It's affecting women and infant children. And I can go on. I mean, I've worked 10 shutdowns. I was essential every time. So this one, you know, the one we win, I'm not working. But it's frustrating.
But you know who her father, Raul, was, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just as much of a troublemaker, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, Buster was no fan, that's for sure. So Adelita Grijalva wants to be sworn in. Congress is out of session. I think they do it because of the distraction. You have to distract from the fact that Trump just created history.
Yes.
It's history. Those hostages that got out that now sleep in their own beds. It like it or not, it was a good thing. They can't find anything good to say, so they're going to drum up the next crisis.
Isn't it interesting that they don't talk about them, but they talk about her wanting to be sworn in?
Right.
I mean, check your privilege on that one.
And then they claim it's to force a vote for the Epstein files. I'm sorry, but there are so many leaks in this government that if there were anything in the Epstein files, we would already know.
That's what we're going to, I mean, of all the things that we're trying to do, everything that was historical
right.
this week, we're going to go back to the Epstein files.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and take a break. And you said Billy Joe Shaver's just fine, right?
Yep.
So there's a song on here. had something to do with Waco. There it is. Wacko from Waco. You know that song?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Billy Joe Shaver, songwriter extraordinaire, by the way. He wrote for Waylon a lot. So, all right. Broadcasting from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with No Sink. You can find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. This is Speak Out. Give us a call if you want to participate. Brian will be in, about 10 minutes. And then we'll talk to Coach Carl Thompson, of course, of the Lake Havasu High School Fighting Knights. 928-854-5687. If you want to call in, and I've got, yes, I'll go ahead and tell them, I've got wristbands to Run to the Sun. Yeah.
Nice.
Right. And I'm going to give away the last pair during this break. All right. So give me a call, 928-854-5687. If you want to go to Run to the Sun tomorrow, we're going to be broadcasting live also tomorrow.
Nice.
From Run to the Sun. Right. Yep, there it goes. The phone's ringing. They only call when they want something, you know? Kind of like your kids.
Yeah.
Stay with us. Jody and I will be right back. Jody Sega, sir. She is the Mojave County Republican Central Committee Chair. Back with more in a moment.
I said, of course I can just point it out. I'll get right to it. Of course, County, Texas, it's been real good to me. They knew I had to shoot that man before that man shot me. You should have known the truth and set me free. Well, living down in Waco made a wacko out of me. Forever, I'm gonna cross that river. I'm gonna catch tomorrow night. You're gonna wanna hold me, just like I always told you. You're gonna miss me when I'm gone. Nobody here will ever find me.
All right, welcome back to the show. Some things you can't say on the air. I'm thinking I'm gonna show some discretion on that one. That was good though. That was an excellent move, right? What was it? There was a Harry Carey joke about, check out the lady in the sombrero. Anyway, that's kind of what we're talking about for those in the know. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. By Just Meats, Salmon's Air Conditioning. Blonzy's Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road. A&B Propane, AB Propane, AZ.com and Springburg Wealth Management. And Brian, just outside the door. Give me a second. I was thinking, Jody, that these sponsors that we have, you know, they probably have the same message that you have in the community. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It might be a good thing to get donations from those who, I don't know, they support Speak Out. Why wouldn't they support you guys?
Absolutely, and we'll be making those calls here soon. And I just came back from Seattle where I did National Republican Committee training for county chairs, and we talked a lot about fundraising, and they talked a lot about Mojave County without realizing talking about Mojave County, so our 75-foot lines, MSNBC, all the stuff we did, and they didn't realize that was us. So I was like, yeah, we're in the house. So it was nice.
And I want to talk about those golden tickets.
Yeah.
Because for me personally, and I'm politically involved, like not so much involved, but I read my sample ballot. I read the, you know, the pros, the cons, all of that. That really helped, though. Explain what the golden ticket is.
The golden ticket, especially on the propositions and for some of the maybe lesser-known judge races and things of that nature, it's you can show you like the Republican side of who your Republican candidates are or the propositions that we support or don't support. Not all Republicans supported all the propositions. Not all Republicans, you know, voted for them, but it was the best collection that we could gather to push those out to make it a little more simple, kind of like Cliff Notes version. Mm-hmm. And they could bring those in, and they're expensive. They're right. Very expensive. So what we are doing, we are working with our people who do our website to do a lot of the QR codes to help. You can bring your phone into the booth, so where you can maybe put those on your phone, and you'll have them in there, so it helps our printing costs.
So those were given out 75 feet from the poles,
yes,
right? But so they were allowed into the booth, though? The
you can
ticket
bring in,
itself?
You can bring in a voting guide.
But people were leaving them behind.
They were leaving behind, and they would scoop them up.
But so the county would scoop them up when they had the chance. Okay.
Or the people who used the voting guide would bring it back to us so we could reuse it.
I get it. How is it that you have so much data on voters? I'm always told it's a secret ballot, this and that. How much data do you actually get? Can you put the person like, well, no, I remember back in the day in 72 election, mm-hmm, we had the conversation at the dinner table. I was a kid. I'm 8 years old, and Dad voted for Nixon and Mom voted for McGovern, and they didn't throw pots and pans at each other, you know?
Yep.
But Dad made it a point to tell us kids it's a secret ballot. You don't have to tell anyone how you vote.
Yep. The data doesn't show exactly who you voted for in the booth, but you can see how Republicans voted, how Democrats would vote, and if you voted Republican ticket. In Arizona, a little more squirrely because we're open ballot. Mm. But when you talk about data, there's a lot of data points that we collect, and when we start going through data, like on my Facebook, we switched over to a page, mm-hmm, and so I can see people who are watching in Mojave, I can see people who are watching in Havasu, and some of that is just the way that data works now, and you can collect it. We've always had this big data issue. We would collect all this data, but now how you have to break it down, how to use it. Oh. So the data's out there. You just have to know how to find it.
Yeah, and that's what kind of circle back now, right?
Yep.
To the first person we talked about,
yep,
which was the person that came in from Scottsdale.
Yes.
George.
George. Found him interesting, did you?
I did. I'm going to interview him sometime when I get an opening on the show. If some of our older listeners, they need me to slow down when I say the phone number, you think I talk fast? Holy cow. He can rattle it off.
Yeah, he can keep up with me.
All right. So what's the big what's going on this next month before you come back in? I know you got the No Kings on Saturday.
Day, yep, and we're going to be doing the counter protest. October 25th, we have the parade in Havasu. Come on down. It's going to be a lot of fun.
London Bridge Days.
And it's dedicated to past heroes. We're looking forward to that. Swap meet, Sunday, 8 to 2. Come on by and say hi. We have information about our clubs, and you'll see what our question of the week is and do the poll. Unscientific poll.
What's a typical question of the week?
Last week was, do you believe in supporting illegals for their health care, for Medicare and Medicare?
Oh, okay. I get you.
Yeah.
Kind of get where that's going.
166, no, uh-huh, and one yes.
But in all fairness, isn't that a little bit of an echo chamber since it's the Republican website?
Yeah.
I was going to say.
We can have a little fun.
I don't see the Democrats going to your website. Maybe they do. I don't know.
Well, they can stop by and vote the way they want.
They show up on common ground.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Again, our guest, Jody Sagaser. She is the Mojave County Republican Central Committee Chair.
Yes.
Always good to see you.
I appreciate you having us on.
I love the sarcasm and the inside jokes off the air.
Yeah.
That's speaking my language.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Jody. We appreciate you. All right. Back with more in a moment. Brian is here. He looks like he's going golfing. Actually, you do. You look like you're going golfing. A little bit without the hat. But he's not. He's working very hard for his clients. All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. The things we learn on Speak Out from guests that we've known since 2007, I think. You love Patsy Cline? No idea.
Yeah.
I would have put on Tammy Wynette.
That's different than Patsy Cline.
Well, a little bit, yeah. But did you see George and Tammy on Showtime? any of it?
I think I saw a little bit of it.
And then there's a series by Mike Judge called Tales from the Tour Bus.
Okay.
And it's George Jones.
George Jones.
And it's animated in real life animation, right?
Yeah.
Like the only way that Judge can do it.
Yeah.
And he talks about George coming home to Tammy one night in a drunken stupor with his famed silver pistol and shoots everything of value in her home. Puts a bullet in it.
Dang.
Yeah. It's on Tales from the Tour Bus, folks. You won't find it anymore on HBO Max or
cool.
Max. I don't know why they dropped it.
High drama.
You can't find the archives anywhere on there. It's like you have a feeling that they were challenged lawsuit-wise because they're talking to people, or Mike was.
Yeah.
Candidly, you know? And there's a lot of good. You can find it online though. It's hidden in different pages. Like
that's cool.
Like Reddit. You can find Reddit links. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part, of course, by The Chair, Mojave College, SamsGuns.com, Solar Power by Esme Electric, Doritos Place, the Lewis Team Remax by the Lake, and Looky Loo's Antiques and Collectibles. And Brian, it's all about timing, man.
What is?
The shutdown happened like right when you would have been on the show. It was like the day before was October.
The federal government
The federal government shutdown. And
are you putting that on me?
No.
Okay.
No. The quotes from the business community, like around, there's a guy in Scottsdale I had a quote from on Arizona News Radio, and that is the market didn't blink. It was inconsequential, and it would be some time before the market would blink. And I have a feeling right now with the market pretty much in the up direction from what I've seen, that the federal shutdown is kind of inconsequential to the stock market. Am I right?
For the moment, yeah. It definitely appears so. In fact, that's a good segue, unbeknownst to you, is that we're actually watching in real time a pretty interesting phenomenon, and when I get done explaining it to you, you're going to go, yeah, yep, that makes sense. And here's what it is.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Then I'm going to say
pretty,
that.
I'm pretty good at explaining things. Listen up, yo. So here's it. So if you've been watching any news at all, you're aware that the jobs reports for a couple of months now have been terrible. So meaning that there are just less and less job openings, unemployment claims are starting to go up a little bit. If you have children or you yourself are in the jobs market on a national level, just kind of looking around, it is getting harder and harder to get a job. And so with that background, the stock market has continued to go up, and there are two primary reasons for that, because on one hand you might say, well, isn't that a bad sign for the economy? You know, jobs are kind of an important thing for the economy. And here's why it hasn't mattered so far. First, it solidified in Wall Street's mind, the market's mind, that the Federal Reserve is in fact going to cut interest rates probably twice more before the end of the year, because what the Federal Reserve has been looking for is weak data to justify lowering interest rates. Here it is. So at first it was a little unsure because the economy had been pretty resilient, but now, okay, a couple of cracks. So the market has priced that in, because lower lending rates directly helps business cost, helps business expansion, helps the economy on some big ticket item purchases. So not including mortgages, by the way, but that has helped. But there's a second interesting phenomenon, and I believe it to be a long-term phenomenon, and it is a disconnect between jobs for the majority of Americans and the stock market. And here's what it looks like. How many years now, decades now, have you known that the likelihood is that robotics and artificial intelligence is going to be replacing jobs?
Oh, we knew that back in the 80s, actually.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's actually happening now, because what was interesting about that phenomenon back then is technology also was creating new jobs at the same time.
Right.
So what everybody got right was we'd be shedding jobs. What everybody got wrong was it would also be creating a lot of new jobs that were never in existence before.
I get it.
But now we are in earnest having computers replace the need for people and the need for other jobs being created. And so how it's possible for Wall Street, for companies to continue to increase profitability while jobs are going away is just because in the meantime, at least for now, you're more profitable when you have lower payroll, right? In other words, what are your hard costs if you own a company? Well, you got to buy stuff to sell or materials to use to build things, and you got to pay people to work for you to make your operation go. Well, if your payroll is down, if labor is down, that increases profitability. So it does make total sense how, you know, because a lot of people are like, what is going on with the stock market? And kind of a separate subject is, are we in a bubble? You know, an AI investment bubble is a big topic right now in the markets. But it doesn't mean that, well, if companies are using AI intelligently, for their own benefit, we'll just say that, you know, they're not going to become more profitable by laying people off. Now, there may come a point where enough people are unemployed, where they are not spending money in the economy to drive the corporate profits and to help facilitate the savings that companies are getting. I'm guessing that at some point that is in fact going to be the circumstance.
I know a longtime business owner in Havasu. He and I got into the AI conversation. It wasn't a debate. It was, well, how do you use it to help your business? I deal with it. He dabbles in it every day. Mm-hmm. He has found that it's not. You just keep improving on it. Like, you can ask one question, and then you improve on that question, improve on that, and it writes a lot of presentations for this person.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of, and it organizes it perfectly, where that would have taken him hours, you know, years ago.
Yeah.
And index cards.
Yeah.
More index cards.
I mean, I will tell you, I think I mentioned on the show, it was maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when kind of ChatGPT was first really coming into the forefront.
Right.
And so as far as skill sets go, writing is probably one of my best. In fact, I was expected to be a writer coming out of high school and college.
Same
and
here.
All the things.
Well, kind of.
And was writing at very high levels at a very early age. And so I take a lot of pride in that, you know, braggy.
Are you a good speller too?
Right.
Are you a good speller?
Decent.
Okay.
Really good with grammar, decent speller. But an ability to communicate via the written word. And
right.
So I remember saying, okay, well, my wife is a realtor, so let's write a description for a made-up listing and say, okay, I have a southwestern listing in, you know, along the river, Lake Havasu City. It's about 4,000 square feet. But, you know, gave it some parameters, you know. And then
how much
blink,
did it write?
Blink, blink. Blink.
Yeah.
Blah.
And how much did it write? Like compared to what you gave.
No, I gave it. I think I told it, you know, 250 words.
Uh-huh.
And I gave it a parameter. Said 250 words.
Okay.
And so it blinked like whatever number of times, and I read it, and I thought, I think I could have written that maybe 3% better.
But in the time it took. Could you have written it in that time?
Not even close.
Exactly.
Well, but again, I'm using me.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want this to sound wrong, but writing skills are not, you know, we're not known. In fact, America, there's a big article, is moving towards more and more illiteracy, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The inability to actually formulate a thought and put it down, type it into a computer. And it's going to be required less and less, obviously, with AI and all these skills. My point is, I'm not too short of being a professional writer.
Yeah.
And at the very beginning of this, so it's way better now, right? I mean, it's going to improve every whatever months. So it's better than I could write it right now, I would assume. And so
exponentially,
that is where we're at.
Yeah.
And so, it was interesting though, because there, you know, I don't want to point it out, but there was a very expensive listing that was just put on MLS and you know, 4 million or oh, whatever yeah. in town here. And
up
I read
in the foothills.
I'm not going to say because okay. I don't want people to like.
I got you.
You know, but let's. I've said enough already.
We just did the real estate power hour
but
yesterday.
But here's
so.
My point: is I yeah. read the description, and I thought, how is this person this oblivious to not use AI? Because what they wrote was terrible. Like it would be. It,
superfluous
yeah,
garbage.
If I was the person listing the house, uh-huh. or I was the builder, or whatever it was, and that my agent or whoever's in charge of that for my firm had written that would dissuade some buyers from even looking
sure.
at the property because it speaks to the quality of it or whatever. And so you got to be careful. So I'm just saying that tool exists right now, and it was shocking to me. And it's just a great way of explaining because somebody is so unaware of what they could have done to have made a very high-end listing for Havasu, professionally written and beautifully done. And because they didn't use it and because they obviously writing isn't their skill set, maybe they're wonderful at other things, mm-hmm. it just was amateur hour. And I was just shocked that's where they're at, and the vast majority is still at that place. So that's a great segue to who was commenting on kind of where we were in terms of the artificial intelligence growth of that. And there's a lot of people saying we're in the third inning, man.
Well, aren't
it's super expensive to make that trade and make those buys, and maybe it could see a major dip or that bubble could
yeah.
burst, but in the long-term picture of things, there's a lot of people saying that we're in the beginning of the game.
So we've got about 2, maybe 3 minutes left. Mm-hmm. In Brian time, I know that's 4, but anyway.
Stretch it out.
You know, speaking of AI,
yeah.
and we've talked about this in the past with regard to the job market, it seems like there's a lot of, I wouldn't say artificial jobs, but they're jobs nonetheless where you're getting paid by the click. For example, and I'm not talking about OnlyFans only.
I'm
talking about a business that might have
yeah.
a YouTube page,
yeah.
might have whatever, you know, in the gig
economy.
Once
you get 1,000 likes
right.
on your site, you start being put into the position of potentially monetizing what you're doing.
Somebody told me that we
yeah.
should do this for Speak Out Common
yeah.
Ground, Speak Out 2.0, yeah. and that we could create some revenue for that.
So I don't recall if on the last show I spoke to it at all, but I was listening to a podcast on the way home from Utah, whatever that was, 3 weeks ago, or mm-hmm. and it was talking about marketing and
oh yeah
how things have shifted and how back in the day how it's always been about, you know, kind of salesmanship and getting in front of people and convincing and persuading, right? That's what marketing is.
Yeah.
But the example they gave was that really if you were to distill what marketing or advertising has become, or how you get people to buy your stuff, let's just call it that. How do I get people to buy, you know, if you're a business person listening to this and you're thinking, how do I do more business?
3 letters. Search engine optimization?
No.
Really?
Yep. That's antiquated.
Oh, no way.
That's old.
Wow.
Baby.
No idea. Thank you for telling me.
And here's why. It's what that, for those of you who don't know, that just means, hey, I build a website, and so how does my website go to the top of the list when somebody Googles Lake Havasu City Financial Planner? How does Springburg Wealth Management get to the top or the top 5 or the top 8? And what it's always been is your website has certain words, mm-hmm. certain phrases,
data, metadata.
Certain metadata mm-hmm. that the algorithm and the computer searches all kind of find. Also, though, you can pay money to go, you know, that's when you see sponsored and it suddenly goes to the top, not because you did the best job on your website creating whatever algorithms and, you know, for the search engine to find, because you just paid money to go to the top. Now what it's changed to is I agree with this, is the word attention. How do you get attention? And it doesn't matter as much how great your product is. It doesn't matter. In other words, how do you show up everywhere when people are trying to look for things? And now it's not just website, of course, as you were mentioning. It's going to be TikTok. It's going to be Instagram. A lot of the world has moved beyond Facebook, not necessarily
there
around here,
a lot of
but there's other things. And attention, how are you getting attention? And that's what drives sales.
There's a lot that show up on Snapchat, on the map.
Yeah.
You know, just little, all these little places where the Gen Zers go, right?
Yeah.
You want those eyes. We got Coach Thompson on the line, so we got
no
to kind of segue to Coach. And you wanted Patsy Cline, right?
Yeah.
And you know...
Love Patsy.
You know the Fighting Knights are at home, right?
Go Knights. They're, yeah, we needed week, that close loss, too, last time.
They're back in baby's arms. You like
All
it?
All right. Good luck, Knights.
All right. Perfect. Brian, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Again, certified financial planner Brian Springberg. That's Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. I'm going to bring the music up, I don't know, so I can listen to a little Golden Pipes of Patsy Cline, and then we'll bring you Coach Carl Thompson through the magic of Mackie Soundboard, right? That's what I'm talking about. Back with more in a moment. About 10 seconds, give me.
I'm back in baby's arms. How I miss those loving arms. I'm back where I belong. Back in baby's arms.
All right, we're back on Speak Out, and tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Lee Barnes Stadium. Be there or be rectangular, right? Against Yunker. This is a game I've really been looking forward to. Unfortunately, I'm not helping to call it. I want to bring in Coach Carl Thompson from the Lake Havasu High School Fighting Knights. Coach,
are you doing?
We are doing great. And unfortunately, you're coming off of a loss of 1 point, but it looked like it was one of those, like Lee Williams, where you played catch-up part of the game anyway.
Well, you know, we came out on that opening drive. I mean, the second play of the game for us offensively, we hit with that 87-yard touchdown pass from Tripp Burke to Carter DeVette. Came right back out, forced another three and out and a punt. We were driving down the field again to score again, and we kind of got hit with the turnover bug. When we had two turnovers in the first half. I mean, for us, that was the first game all year that we did not win the turnover margin. We were minus two on the day. We had a couple opportunities in that first half. Deer Valley, I will say that there was very tough physical game back and forth, but kind of Mother Nature didn't cooperate with us too much in that game. I kind of know what Dorothy felt like, probably in that windstorm, because from imagine Lee Barnes Stadium from Palo Verde to the scoreboard, blowing across the field or the length of the field, probably 20 to 30 mile per hour wind the entire game.
Sounds like.
So,
go ahead, Coach.
It was difficult. So both teams struggled. Anytime we had to go towards the end zone that you were going into the wind, no team scored on that side of the field the whole night. All the points were scored going with the wind of the night. And anytime either of us had to punt, I mean, you were getting punts of five, negative 2 yards because you were kicking right into the wind, and it just made it a very difficult night. I know Deer Valley got the ball. Probably of their 11 possessions, eight of them were inside the 50 coming into their end zone.
I mean, we
did a good job stout, but, you know, they got a couple points when we couldn't stop them.
You know, I know a few people, women-wise anyway, that they could have made a house land on the other team, but I digress. Let's talk about Yunker. It's a very interesting team, and their record, I think, at least Steve thinks so too, is a little better than what they should be. They ran in, I mean, for example, they played Buckeye Union, a team that I wouldn't say you manhandled them, but, you know, and they hit you in the mouth a couple times, but the score was pretty indicative of the game. It was like a 48-23 or something like that. And Yunker loses to Buckeye Union. So this could be interesting. The team that was in first place may drop down to third or fourth here after tomorrow night.
Yeah, it could be very interesting. That Buckeye-Yunker game is very similar to Lake Havasu-Mojave. I mean, their two schools are less than a mile apart. So, I mean, that's a big rivalry game for them. And yes, Buckeye was a very physical, tough team. We expect the same from Yonkers. I mean, they're very tough-nosed kids. They're going to get after it. They do have a new coaching staff, but they have a few guys back from last year's team. And we were at a very similar time last year. We picked them up, and that was a game that we won last year, I think 28-0. I kind of shocked them and everything a little bit. So I don't think we're sneaking up on anyone anymore. But again, you know, we just need to have a good, strong physical defensive night. Need to create some turnovers. Offense has been working a lot of things, moving the ball. Like I said, we moved the ball tremendously last week. The problem was we could only move it one direction. So you saw a little bit more of our heavy package there. But again, we've had a good week of practice. I mean, we still have the normal injury bug for a couple guys sick. But other than that, we've had a really good week of practice. The kids are very excited to be back at home after a month of touring Arizona. It's going to be awesome to be back at home, Lee Barnes Stadium, with a great community support of homecoming.
It took my next question, but okay, here, let's look at it this way. And we have about maybe a minute and a half. You've got Estrella Foothills after this. I know you look at it one week at a time. I don't want to get the coach's lecture, okay? And then you have Summerton after that, but you're ranked number 11 out of 16 that go to state. How do you think your chances are right now?
Well, it's changed a little bit. So now, this year in 4A football, the top 24 teams.
Oh.
And the first eight. So if you were in the top eight, you get a first round bye. So that's something new. They're following the same format they've done with a lot of other sports in Arizona. It's too helped when they have the open division. So if a team loses in the open in the first round, they can still be auto populated back into playoff scenarios. But for us, the top 24 are going to be in. With the first eight getting a bye. If we started today, Walden Grove would have to come to Lake Havasu to play. I think they're down towards the Tucson, South Phoenix area. But that's a little bit different format this year, so it's going to be a learning curve for all of us. But, you know, winning out would give us a good shot of being in that top eight with a lot of teams that are above us having to play each other. And, you know, it all comes down to strength of schedule. So everybody we've played, we need to win except for who we're playing at that moment. Coach, that would be the best to help us.
Coach, winning out is never a bad thing, right?
That is correct. You know, keeping that momentum, I just wonder how it will play out with that first round bye, because you always see the teams in the NFL. Sometimes those teams that get the bye, they're out of their normal routine.
Yeah.
They're out of their normal environment, and then they come in. So it'll be interesting for us, but, you know, never a problem when you make it there. Because anything can happen as once you get there, just as we proved a couple years ago, being the 13 seed and rolling into the Final Four.
Absolutely. I never give you enough time. We got to go, Coach.
All right. Thank you. Right. We'll see you all at the game. Appreciate it.
You bet. Good luck tomorrow night. That game, of course, kickoff at 7, pregame about 6:40 on KNTR Sports, AM 980 and KNTRSports.com. I got to go. We're going to take this one right up to the top of the hour, and I'll see you guys on Tuesday, and we'll have, I believe, Sonny Borelli's coming on, so that'll be kind of cool. And I'll, we'll see you Tuesday. Everybody have a safe and a great weekend, and tomorrow, Run to the Sun. That's what I wanted to mention. We're on remote, Run to the Sun. Whew, almost got the frying pan from Tracy. All right, see you tomorrow on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.